What's up, everyone? Welcome to Metalcore Nerds. I am your host, Sean Mott, and today my co-host for the Falcon the Winter Soldier, Billy Sweet, is with me. What is up, my man?
What's going on, Sean? How you doing, bud?
Just hanging out, recovering after the long I'll call it the Sean Mott cut of the Metalcore of the Snyder Cut last night.
Totally.
Can find on every audio platform. It's on our Facebook, it's on our Twitch for now, and it's on YouTube forever. So you can check that out if you have not seen that. And if you are new to the podcast, welcome. This is a podcast where I take people from the heavy music or metalcore sphere, and we most of the time talk about nerd shit. This is a show breaking down and recapping Falcon the Winter Soldier. There is a show that we did, WandaVision, with my friend Tyler Small. And it's going to keep going on. I think I'm going to keep doing live streams for the big movie events. That was really fun. It was cool to have people interact live. I kind of liked the vibe of that. So I think I'm going to continue with that. Probably next one will probably be Black Widow, unless something else comes up that's cool. Maybe do a Mortal Kombat one. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Godzilla, but maybe?
I might do a podcast with Godzilla. I'm not sure if I'll do it live yet. We'll see. Sure. We'll see how it goes. I'm not sure when I'm going to see it. I probably see it in the theater, because going to a theater here is like going to a theater by yourself, so I don't feel bad about it at all. and I'm careful with that stuff, obviously. Even when there's people in it, they're seriously at the other end of the theater, and it's seriously, you're like there by yourself. I live in a small town, though, so I have that luxury. I'm sure a lot of people do not.
Nope.
But it has been 1 year of Metalcore Nerds, which is fucking awesome. Anyone who's been returning, thank you so much for listening, doing what you do. So in celebration of 1 year of the podcast, all of the merch that I have left on metalcorners.com is on sale for half off. You just got to use the code birthday. There will also be links in all the descriptions, so you can just click the link and go to that if you want. If you're too lazy to type in birthday as a promo code, I got you covered. You just hit the link and then you're good to go. But there's like a handful of shirts left. There's this shirt, Metalcore Nerds versus Everybody. And then there's a logo t-shirt. There's also enamel pins. So very limited supply. So I'm actually just kind of trying to get rid of it. So buy it. That'd be cool. But before we dive into the full episode, episode 2 of the Falcon Winter Soldier, the Star Spangled Man, let's hear Billy's 9 spoiler thoughts on the episode. It's hard to talk about without spoiling, because this episode had a lot in it.
Great follow-up episode. I really, honestly, every week is going to be like this. It's just going to be like, oh, I thought it was great, and then we'll go into spoilers. but honestly, I'm just like, it's funny. What I will say that is a non-spoiler is that a lot of the things that you predicted, well, not a lot, but some of the things you predicted, some characters that we would have saw, we got to see them a little bit, and I thought that was really cool. I remember the one scene that I'm talking about. I'm like, wait, didn't Sean talk about this guy in the last episode? And then I put two and two together, I'm like, holy shit, he did. This is awesome. Good, like, you just, it was awesome. But yes, no, definitely for a follow-up episode, the second one, top notch. Good shit. Yeah. Good shit, sir.
Very, very good. Yeah, it was exactly like that. It was a good continuation right on the first episode, and it just kind of expanded the world, expanded the characters, introduced us to some new characters, which is very, very exciting and cool for the MCU. I didn't really think we'd ever get in this kind of territory, and obviously we're going to get very into it, but it's very cool to see them, especially in these series. They've studied very serious topics. You know what I mean? It's like WandaVision was obviously about grief and acceptance and moving on and dealing with grief, and this season's obviously dealing with racial injustice within America and the government, and also like self-worth and if people are redeemable, like people can change, which is like, that's my biggest thing in life, is that I always believe that people can be better, even if they've made, like, everyone's made mistakes in the past. Everyone's done something that sucks to someone else. You know what I mean? Like, no one is completely free of that. So, but everyone has the ability to become a better person. That's, to me, that's like the journey of life. That's like the point of life, is to make yourself better as you go along. That's like the whole point. You know, you lost in life for your personal relationship or jobs or whatever, and you take that and you just try to be a better person. So I like how it's not just racial stuff. I always have stuff is like the almost the backbone of the show, at least, or so it seems. But they really, like, especially with like Bucky, like, and Sam, they're both trying to find like their new roles in their life, like, especially after the events of Avengers Endgame and coming back from the blip, like, where do we fit in with all of this? Totally. And I love that they're like really going there. It's very, very cool.
I like it too.
But yeah, so yes, go ahead.
Oh no, I just wanted to like what you were saying about self-worth, I think is what you were saying. I think that's definitely going to be a part of it too, because we're seeing Sam battle with taking up the mantle of being Captain America. You know, like when we get into spoilers, we'll talk about that more, but you know, just from the first episode, you know, he's like questioning himself. It seems like he's like, am I good enough to be the next Captain America? Does the world want me to be Captain America? Like, I'm not Steve Rogers, but like, will people accept me for this role in the world right now? Like, am I going to be the person that people will look up to and see, is like, am I this type of role model that Steve Rogers was? Like, can I fill those shoes? And you know, it's also kind of like a self, like we were saying self-worth. It's kind of like, it also dives into self-doubt as well, I feel like, because like he's obviously doubting himself. He doesn't think he's good enough, and like, personally, I think he is. I think he fills the shoes perfectly. And, you know, I think, you know, we're only in the second episode, but I think, you know, we'll see that him realizing that he is good enough, that he is actually the perfect candidate. And, you know, I just can't wait to see that unfold to where he actually like believes in himself and takes that shield back. You know what I mean?
Same. I completely agree. So, spoiler warning, we're about to dive very deep into this episode. So, final spoiler warning, this episode had a cold opening before the Marvel scroll, and we see John Walker, who is just announced as the new Captain America, him prepping for a pep rally at his old high school. He talks with his partner, Lamar Hoskins, who we know is named Battlestar. That is straight from the comics. He is, I guess, U.S. agents. He's not U.S. agent yet, but so the whole thing with U.S. agent, he was super patriot, and this was when Cap was around. He kind of tries to make Cap look bad. He does. Cap kind of steps down. He becomes a new Captain America. Then he pretty much goes psycho and kills a ton of people, which I'm interesting to see if they'll take like a similar kind of route, which would be kind of cool. And then he ends up becoming U.S. agent, and he kind of is like a bad guy, anti-hero kind of thing throughout the all comics. But Lamar Hoskins is his right-hand man as Battlestar. They do call him Bucky sometimes too, and I don't know if that's a direct dig at Captain America. So it was funny when he says he's Battlestar later in the episode that Bucky's like, Battlestar, stop the car. You know, it's like, it was, I feel like that was like a meta nod at comics kind of.
Yeah, that was one thing I was gonna ask you, is like, there's obviously some type of meaning behind that, because like I said before, I am not familiar with any of the comics. So when he was like, oh yeah, my name is Battlestar, and he was like, hey, really, stop the car? And I was like, whoa, I don't get that. Is that like something that means something to Bucky, and that's just like a slap in the face to him, or like what?
Which it could be. Obviously, that has not been revealed, but for now, I kind of looked at it as like a meta nod to he was called Bucky in the comics too, when he really wasn't Bucky. His name is Lamar Hoskins, you know, like, where do you get Bucky from that? I don't you know what I mean? Sure. And then, of course, he's on Good Morning America, you know, Disney plugging their own product because they own ABC.
Yeah.
Makes sense. The song that's playing is a new rendition of the song Star Spangled Man with a Plan that was played in Steve Rogers' War Bond tour when he first became Captain America. So they obviously, this is a parallel to that. It's a modern day version of what Cap did back then. to sell war bonds, but it's like him being like, hey, I'm the new face of, you know, I'm your new hero, I'm the new Cap, you know, like he's signing fucking toys, there's posters everywhere, the whole nine, you know what I mean? But it was very interesting to see a hero. We don't really know where he stands yet. It was cool to see them kind of make him relatable. You know, he's like, I just want to, you know, like obviously people are expecting me to be something. I just want to, you know, do the job right and everything like that. And obviously they talk about his body being studied at MIT and shit like that. So it makes me wonder, has he already got super soldier serum? Because he seems, and obviously we see later in the episode, he dude seems pretty strong, and he can throw that shield real good. Like, we see that clip of him throwing the shield, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Well, I'm like, whoa. Like,
he knows how to throw that motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
It was nothing.
Yeah, so I was like, whoa, all right. And, you know, he name drops Tony Stark, Bruce Banner, saying, like, I'm not like anything. He's trying to paint himself as, like, the everyman to make him relatable to everyone else.
Totally.
He did have a weird pause, like, when he talked about, like, every time they kind of bring up, like, something with him being enhanced, he kind of has, like, a pause to it.
Right.
Which I'll go more to when we get later in the episode. But he says this line, and then we see Bucky watching at home saying that, I never knew Steve Rogers, but he feels like a brother to me.
Mm.
Obviously, that insanely upset Bucky, because Steve was a brother to Bucky, 100%.
Uh-huh.
You know, they go way back to when he was, defending him in alleyways when he was a little guy.
Yeah.
But how did you think of this first introduction of John Walker? Did you feel the same way? Did you find like, maybe I like this guy? You know, maybe this guy isn't too bad.
No, that's exactly what I thought, because, you know, just gathering all the information after the first episode, looking up who John Walker was and you describing him and everything like that, being kind of this anti-hero kind of bad guy in the comics and all that kind of stuff. Right. So, and just, you know, everyone always saying, oh, like, think of him as like the dick Captain America. Right. So, you know, there's two ways I went about this. Number one, I'm like, okay, they're going to make him be good for a little bit, and then they'll make him turn bad. So in this first introduction, I'm like, I thought to myself, he doesn't seem like a bad guy. He's pretty humble. He's trying to, you know, humanize himself a little bit. So he doesn't seem like the worst guy yet. I kind of like, thought to myself this as well, because, and I know we try not to do tangents, but this reminded me of Spider-Man Far From Home with Quentin Beck, and how he was like super nice and he was really friendly. And like, you know, he was, you know, when Peter handed over the glasses and he was just like, I can't take these. I can't, whatever. And so I thought to myself, I'm like, but Mysterio is a bad guy in the comics. Why is he so nice and like helping everybody out now?
Yeah.
And then obviously his grand,
the big twist. Yeah.
twist happened. And literally I was like, oh shit, spoke too soon. It kind of was like this with John Walker in this episode. It's not to the grand scale of how Quentin Beck in Spider-Man Far From Home was, because he's nice in the beginning. He's trying to relate himself to everyday normal people. And, you know, he's trying to work with Sam and Bucky. And then, you know, I don't want to jump to the end of the episode, but at the end of the episode is where I'm like, oh, again, I spoke too soon. He might be kind of a dick, but, you know, that's just kind of how I thought of that. I also wanted to point out real quick, like when I was watching the episode, because again, I always watch these shows by myself, so I always like react to things. So
yes,
when he was talking at that pep rally, being like, I don't have he says like something about, I don't have a lot of things, but what I do have, and I go, a particular set of skills. You have a particular set of skills.
Oh my God. I would lose it if he said that.
I know. And then he's like, but what I do have is guts. And I was just like, ah, come on, say a particular set of skills. We were waiting for that Liam Neeson taken reference. But no, I just thought that was kind of funny. I'm like, ah, that would have been so great if he would have said that. But
yeah, that would have been amazing.
In the grand scheme of things, when it came to his, like, you know, his backstory, a little bit of a backstory, kind of seemed like what he's all about. He seems like a nice guy. Seemed like a nice guy throughout the whole episode. And then kind of at the last minute, we're just kind of like, all right, well, That's just one thing that he said, you know, stay the hell out of my way. That's just like, I feel like Captain, like Steve Rogers maybe even would have said that at one point. It's like not to be a dick or anything like that, but it's just like, it kind of reminded me of like how Steve was in Captain America Civil War. You know what I mean? It just is like, he didn't necessarily go rogue, but he did go against Tony Stark. So it's kind of, cause he's just like, I don't want the government to control how they run the Avengers. And, you know, and then he got his team assembled together and they duked it out. I feel like that's kind of like maybe where John Walker's head is at right now. Cause like, obviously he seems like on the side of the government where he is, you know, he's just like, I'm just going to do what I think is the right thing to do. And if you're going to be in my way, tough shit. I'm just going to do my own thing. And that's kind of it. But,
yeah,
you know, like I said, that's only one thing that he has said to give us that, like, oh, maybe he is a dick. But, like, you know, going forward, maybe he won't be. But who knows?
There is another line I will bring up that is pretty dickish, but we'll get there. After this, Sam and Bucky reunite in a very, very awkward way. We see Sam gearing up to fly to Munich to track the Flag Smashers with Torres, and Bucky just shows up and he's like, why did you give up the shield? You know, like really pressing him about why he gave up the shield. And then Sam's like, we have bigger things to worry about. And Bucky says, what could be bigger than this? And then he brings up the Flag Smashers, and then Sam, this whole interaction was amazing. And he's like, oh yeah, they're probably part of the big three. He's like, what's the big three? Aliens, androids, and wizards. And he's like, no such thing as wizards. The fucking Gandalf line. And apparently, so the
killed me, dude.
What she says, 1937 or whatever. Apparently that year, it was before the wide release of the book. So there was only like 1500 copies released in like Europe. So it kind of makes him like seem like this like science fiction super nerd, like Bucky, you know what I mean? Which is pretty fucking crazy and awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. It's just like, what are we fighting now? Gandalf? Like, it's fucking great. and then they have the whole debate about Dr. Strange. Like a lot of Avengers got name dropped in this episode.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
he's like, Dr. Strange, he's a sorcerer. And he's like, think about sorcerers. They're a wizard without a hat. He's like, crazy. I just came up with that. I wonder if that was ad-libbed, like, honestly, if that was, like, because it seems like a lot of this stuff is improv.
Between their banter, I bet you anything, they have some free range when it comes to that, because that seemed pretty off the cuff, man. Honestly,
yeah. I think it was. Like, even him being like, it's crazy, I just came up with that. Like, it seemed like he actually did, and was just saying that because he thought it was so funny.
He thought it was that good. No, I could totally see it. I could totally see it, dude. Of course. It's kind of like, they're the Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly of the MCU, just like going off the cuff. You know what I mean?
Yes. That's a great comparison. So obviously Bucky just tags along, gets in the plane. Like, I'm going to Germany with you. See ya.
Yeah.
He jumps out of the plane and Bucky's like, where's the parachute? Torres says it's too low for a parachute. So he just jumps out and falls pretty ungracefully down. And I love the part where he's like, I got all that on camera.
I love it.
With Red Wing. So amazing. Amazing. So they're at this compound and they're scouting the Flag Smashers. And they kind of are arguing of, you know, how to kind of intercept them and deal with them. You know, Bucky's just like, let's just go in there. I can take them. Like, we can take them. You know, I got a vibranium arm. We can do this. And Sam's like, no, like, let's do some recon. Let's plan this out. Like, let's be smart about this. And I love this line. He's like, oh, you spent some time with Wakanda. What are you, the White Panther? And he goes, no, I'm a White Wolf, which is a callback to him being called the White Wolf in the after credit scenes of Black Panther, which obviously led to Infinity War. And the White Wolf was like a guardian of Black Panther in the comics, but obviously the MCU has adapted it to something completely different. But it's kind of curious to see, like, if he did help Wakanda in some way while he was getting treated by them to help, you know, get the programming out of his brain and everything. So that was a really cool tie back to MCU line. Obviously, they're the kings at that shit. So,
oh, yeah.
No shock there. They obviously end up. We see the Flag Smashers taking vaccines and putting him in trucks to transport them somewhere else. They chase after, and Bucky running is honestly like a I would think a pretty good callback to Civil War with all the running scenes in that. And I don't know how they film that shit. Do the cars just go really slow or something? Because it looks so real. It's so cool.
I'm not sure. I think I remember watching this like kind of behind the scenes thing from the first Captain America, with Chris Evans doing that run in
yes.
But and I don't remember how they did it though. I honestly think they just had what they did was they had Chris running at normal speed and they just like sped him up. Like they somehow, you know, got him running and they took those clips and just like kind of spliced him in and they just made him look like it was running really fast. I think that's how they did it. I could be wrong. I probably am, but I think that's how they did it.
That would make sense. I just love hearing that stuff. I know nothing about that kind of stuff, but hearing about it fascinates me. Then they obviously keep up with they catch up with the Flag Smashers and they see Carly Morgenthau in who they think is a hostage, but then she kicks the shit out of Bucky into the other truck. And then, so also really cool thing before the next part of this fight, it seems like it's mostly like WandaVision, like almost everything in the trailers are predominantly in the first two episodes. It seems like it
because I've only seen the first trailer, as I mentioned before, and it seems like I think that's that was the game plan.
Which is very cool. I love that they do that. There's been a couple of shorter scenes, some stuff with Zemo, which we'll obviously get into later, and a couple of other scenes with like Bucky and stuff, but they were very, very short. So it's very cool that we've like pretty much anything in the trailers we've pretty much seen in the first two episodes. And they didn't even give away a lot in those either. Because I didn't really know how all these stories were going along, and I still don't after this episode, which is very, very cool.
Yeah.
Before I get into the rest of this fight, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, I did. The girl Carly, she was in Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yes.
She was in that little
group near the end. Yeah.
Yeah, she was Enfys Nest. And I just love how we're seeing so many actors cross over from one franchise into the other. Like just, you know, she was in Star Wars, now she's in Marvel. You know, we can go down a whole rabbit hole list.
I think she was in Game of Thrones too.
I don't think she was because I've seen all of Game.
She wasn't.
I don't think.
Oh, I thought she. Remember.
She might have been.
I thought she was.
Let me double check that. I'm fact checking.
I mean, there's a lot of people in Game of Thrones, and a lot of people die. So.
Yeah, but no, her only filmography is up. She hasn't been in a lot. Her first credit is in this movie called Raised by Wolves. Or that's a show, and that was in 2015. So, but again, I stand corrected. Yeah, no. It's okay. But I just thought that was really cool because I was just like, I was like, I know who that is. Why do I know who this is? And then like it just clicked. I'm like, oh shit, she was in fucking Solo, a Star Wars story as that like one crazy chick at the end of it. Like, yeah. But yeah, I just thought that was really cool. So if people didn't know that, now you do.
The more you know. And then we get an awesome fight sequence on top, including I would like to have a short moment of silence for Red Wing, who gets smashed over the knee of Carly Morgenthau. Rest in peace, Red Wing.
And that
and I love how Bucky goes, I always wanted to do that. I was like, damn.
Yeah. There's two things. Number one, there is the comedy in this episode was amazing. Like, I feel like going forward, the comedy is going to get a lot better. And this action sequence that we get with the two, the semi trucks, reminded me a lot of The Matrix Reloaded. I know that's really random, but it reminded me of.
Dude, yes, for sure. And then obviously they're kind of getting their asses kicked. And then John Walker and Lamar Hassan show up, which is awesome that they did not give that away in the trailer. They pretty much, they showed zero shots of really John Walker. It was pretty much just the scene of him running in the pep rally, giving the high five to the guy. And that was it, which is awesome. I love that they didn't give anything away about him, especially I love that they cut him out of this action scene completely. So when he showed up, I was like, oh shit. Like, okay, cool. We're here already. Like, here we go. And they kind of saved the day. Like, obviously, this, like we said before, this dude can fucking use that shield. He saves Lamar with it, with an awesome move. But at the end of the day, they all get their fucking asses handed to them.
Yeah, they do.
And then we get a very, very awkward but funny and somewhat tense moment with all four of them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like you said before, John Walker wants to team up with Bucky and Sam. They are very hesitant. We find out that they're like, how did you know about this? And they're like, oh, yeah, we used Red Wing to, you know, follow you guys. And he's like, you hacked us? And he's like, well, no, it's government property and we're kind of the government, which is, yeah, that's a dick line for one. I don't think Steve Rogers would ever said we're kind of the government ever.
I don't think so either.
And then obviously they and that's probably how they knew about the big three conversation, because right, I don't think that is an actual thing. And then Sam brings up, no, I think they're super soldiers. And the look they have with each other is very interesting. Like, again, they might have already taken the super soldier serum or they know about it. Mm-hmm. I do think, I'll get more into this a little bit later, but I do think if they don't, they will get it in the show. And then obviously we talked about the Battlestar line, and then Sam and Bucky get out. And as they're getting out, this is the other dick line. John Herbie's, I would love to have Cap's wingman at my side, trying to say he's like a sidekick. And obviously he was not a sidekick to Steve mm-hmm. Rogers. They were very much partners. It was not a sidekick relationship. It was a team with Steve Rogers. And he's just like, yeah, you want to be my wingman, bro? Like, he's like, and he even says, he's like, it's always that last line. Mm-hmm. Like, he knows. And obviously, like, Bucky and Sam have more conversations about the shield, and he's just saying, like, hey, like, you don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, I am not Steve. And we'll get more into how this kind of all comes together as we move on to this. And then Bucky says, hey, I need to show you someone. But before we get into that sequence, because that sequence is intense and insane, any more thoughts on the rest of this fight and then their interactions with John Walker and Lamar Hoskins after the fight?
Nah, pretty much everything you said was exactly my exact thoughts. There's lots of tension in this episode between Bucky and Sam in particular, and I think I want that to be I just want that to be resolved. That's the whole thing. I just, like, it's gonna take some time, I'm sure, but there's a lot of tension in this episode when it comes to them two, and then when it comes to Sam and Bucky, and then when it comes to fucking John Walker and the other guy. Lots of tension there, which I really dig in this show, which I was hoping that there would be a lot of, because I love a good, like, I love the headbutting. But at the same time, when it comes to Sam and Bucky, I'm like, I really hope this tension ends pretty soon. So other than that, that's pretty just that's just my thoughts on that sequence in particular.
Yeah, we've seen this in like every.
I'm sorry.
You're fine.
I also thought one of the coolest sequences, and I can't remember if it was Sam or Bucky, but one of them flew underneath both the semi trucks. I think it was Sam. And also when Bucky was like, when his vibranium arm like ripped that big ass hole in the side of the semi truck, and he was just hanging on by a thread, almost getting his head crushed by that tire. Bro,
wild.
So tight. I really think that, like, I'm also wondering, kind of like how you were wondering about how they got him to do the really fast running thing. I'm wondering how much of their own stunts that, like, Sebastian and Anthony and, like, everybody else did. I'm wondering, because it seemed like Sebastian was, like, he was kind of up there on that tire. But, like, obviously, it could have been just, like, the best CGI possible. But I'm wondering how much of their own stunts they did.
Yeah, I know it's a good mix. It seems like they do anything that's not, like, too dangerous that would hurt them. Kind of thing, because obviously these motherfuckers train hardcore for these Marvel roles. It's nuts. Like, obviously we've seen, like, Kumail Nanjiani, like, that dude was, like, just a normal guy, and now that dude is shredded beyond belief.
So jacked,
dude. Crazy.
And he's like a stand-up comedian, yeah. Just like, better laugh, motherfuckers. You know what I mean? But no, dude,
yeah, he is crazy
huge now, dude.
Yeah. So it's like, obviously these people get in obnoxious shape for these
intense
roles. Like
shape for sure.
Chris Hemsworth just keeps getting bigger. Like he's going to be John Cena by the time we know it, dude. Like he's fucking massive. He's crazy.
He's huge, dude. Everyone is just so ripped. So,
Yeah. Yeah. But to add to your the thing about tension, obviously we've seen this in like team up movies or shows. There's always kind of tension and they kind of work to teaming up at the end. But this one, they kind of like amped up the tension a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because obviously both of these dudes have had insanely close relationships with Steve. And that's obviously that's what they have in common. It might be the only thing they have in common. Obviously, like Bucky is a man out of time. And Sam's like, a black man trying to be a hero in today's society, which obviously is not easy whatsoever. Mm. So it's, you know, and they're kind of arguing over the legacy of Steve and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But we go to Baltimore and Bucky brings them to a house and he explains, I met this guy in the Korean War in 1951. And the kid that calls Sam Black Falcon, I do think this is kind of a meta nod to what is coming and to Marvel Comics in the past as a whole, because we meet Isaiah Bradley in the comics. What he explains is pretty similar to what happened in the comics. I referenced this in last week's episode. We talked about the end credit scene. We see a shot of his face, and I said this is probably going to end up being in the show, and obviously it ended up being in it, but they call him Black Captain America, and they've called like Goliath Black Goliath, and they changed it to Goliath. And I think it was like a more of like him being like, oh yeah, so just because I'm Black and Falcon, I'm Black Falcon. He's like, oh, where are you, Black kid? Like, I think it was like a nod being like, hey, just because I'm Black and something else, I don't need to be Black and that name, which I thought was pretty cool. It's right on the nose. And then they meet Isaiah. The kid who answers the door is his grandson, who was credited as Eli Bradley, who I brought up when we talked about Elijah Bradley, Isaiah Bradley, that he has a grandson named Elijah. They've obviously shortened it to Eli, who becomes Patriot in the comics, who is a young Avenger. So that was a cool nod. So we'll see where that goes. Like, obviously, they're setting up the Young Avengers slowly but surely, getting introduced in all these new properties. Yeah. So I'm guessing that will probably pay off later, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. So they talk with Isaiah. He is obviously very upset because he sees Bucky, who is a man from his past who tried to fucking kill him. And he said he took off half of his arm in the fight, which is fucking nuts. He's like, I've seen it grown back. And he goes, I'm not a killer anymore. And then he says, yeah, I guess people like you can just change what they want to be when they wake up. Which, obviously, it's a race thing. Of course it is. And he brings up that they tested on him. They used me. They put me in prison for 30 years, which did happen in the comics too. And he said, even your people weren't done with me, which means Hydra, which is very curious to see that even Hydra had something to do with him after he was in it. And obviously, he does not want to talk, kicks them out. And then Sam is very upset and brings up, why did you never tell me about this? Like, obviously, there was a black man who was Captain America after Steve was gone. And he says, Steve didn't know about it. No one knew about it. But I felt like he's already been through enough. But I felt like you needed to meet him. But before we move on to the next part, your thoughts on this scene.
Again, very heavy. Intense. Very heavy. Very intense. This is kind of where, you know, I feel like the reason why this show is going to be kind of like the best in this realm of the MCU is because of, again, how intense it is. As I had said in the previous episode, that I feel like this is going to be like, this is geared for a more older audience. It's going to be like intense. It's going to be more for adults. It's going to, obviously, if kids are going to watch it, they're going to see the racial tension and everything like that, which in the next scene that we're going to talk about, we see again. You know, I'm going to be honest, man, like the dialogue that Isaiah and Bucky exchanged to me was jaw dropping. Like it goes back to how long Bucky's been around, the shit that he has gone through, the things that he did to other people. And, you know, we talk about redemption We talk about how this show, it seems to me like underlying themes with racial tension is redemption, and how can you redeem yourself after doing really horrible things. You know, this is one of those times where we see Bucky trying to essentially do something like that, and it just doesn't pay off for him. And it was just super intense, and it was jaw-dropping. My heart was racing a little bit. I didn't know what to expect. So for me, it was just like damn, dude, that was some shit. Because I didn't know
even the part with him throwing the tin in the wall that showed him he was like actually had the super soldier serum and shit,
it was just very intense, man. And I don't know, man. It just took me by surprise, because again, I don't know a lot of these people's backstories. I don't know a lot about the stuff in the comics, like where these people came from and what role they play. So hearing all that expositional dialogue of like their relationship, not necessarily relationship, but how they even know who each other are, is just was just
right.
Wow.
Holy shit. That was crazy, because I don't think they really ever met in the past like that in the comics. But you know, even that scene was so wild. It was masterfully acted, and totally. Just like you felt the pain and the anguish and the anger, like amazing. I really hope he comes back later in the series.
I hope so too. I might be paraphrasing here, but I love the line in that exchange of like where Bucky was like, "This is Isaiah. I think we met in the Korean War," and he's like, and then Isaiah was like, "If you mean met, meaning I whooped your ass," I was just like, "Damn,
yeah." Okay. And that's crazy that he gave Bucky a run for his money. Yeah, obviously Bucky was a bad motherfucker.
Yeah,
dude. You know,
but even a bad motherfucker can be put in his place, man.
True that.
He can be, bro. He can be.
And then they're obviously arguing on the street. A cop pulls up. A cop is asking Bucky, you know, the dude with the fucking metal arm, like, "Hey, is this guy bothering you?" to Sam, and he's like, "No, what are you talking about?" And they're giving Sam a hard time because he is black, until they realize that he's Falcon, and they're like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry. It's just like a famous person." They actually, the Boys season 2 had something very similar, you know, where everyone is giving I can't remember his fucking name, but they're giving him a hard time in the department store until they realized that he was part of the Seven, and they're like, "Oh man, I'm so sorry." Like, it's just, yes, A-Train. Thank you. Yeah, they gave him a hard time until they realized who he was, and they're like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, it's just like that shit sucks, but I'm glad they're bringing this up. And to anyone who was like, "No, I don't think the show's really about race," like, obviously it fucking is. And this stuff needs to be talked about. And I'm glad that the MCU is putting this shit right at the forefront to talk about it. You know, it's important, and it's very cool, like I said, to see them tackling these insanely tough issues head on. It's very, very cool. I mean, comics have talked about this shit for years, you know, so it's good to see it reflected in the movie and show format. And then obviously Bucky gets arrested because he misses therapy session, which is like missing parole. Again, he got pardoned from the government because he was, you know, a fucking assassin for 90 years. So they go to jail. Before we get into that jail scene that kind of wraps up the rest of the show, we see a little bit of the backstory, or a little bit of the motivations of the Flag Smashers. They go to this like kind of hidden compound where they took the vaccines, which I don't think are vaccines, and I'll talk about at the end of this. They have someone who brings them in, and they say they're calling you guys Robin Hoods. So it seems like this group maybe is trying to do good, but obviously they're doing it in not the best ways. Yeah. So they don't seem like bad guys just yet. It's kind of like John Walker. You're kind of like hesitant to believe what their real motives are.
Yeah, because
Carly,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but like,
no, you're fine.
This is going to be an odd thing to say, but I feel like a lot of people agree with this statement. Like when I saw Infinity War and everyone was like, oh, Thanos is such a bad guy, but it's like you hear his motivation of why he's doing what he's doing. And some people have been like, I actually kind of agree with them. And I'm not saying whether I did or not, but what I'm saying is we don't know what their motivation is fully yet. Like we're seeing the, right. You know, we're seeing it like kind of, it's creeping up there, you know, but we're not 100%. It's not there fully yet. So who knows what it really is. And, you know, I'm sure within the next few episodes, it'll be revealed what their big old plan is. But it is interesting because we don't know. Because what if their motivation is for the better, you know, for the good of the people or for the, you know, whatever. We don't know that yet. But, you know, we shall see.
Yes. And then Carly gets a text from unknown Umber saying you took what was ours and threatens her life. And then we find out as they're trying to pack all the vaccines into this plane and fly away, they say that the power brokers are after them. And I mentioned the power brokers in the last episode from the end credit scene. Power brokers who get that in the comics is who gave John Walker and Lamar Haskins their powers, which could be the same for this series. They also, it's kind of like two people, but it is kind of like a corporation. So they said power brokers, so I'm guessing it's like a corporation kind of thing. Uh-huh. And they made a version of the Super Soldier Serum, and they sold it to the highest bidders, which could be a very possibility in this series as well. They also give Torres his Falcon powers. They like merge his DNA with, so Red Wing is an actual Falcon, like I brought up last episode. They merge his DNA with him, which is really fucking weird, and I hope they don't do anything like that because it's just kind of a little too wacky. Yeah. But yeah, so the Power Brokers does play a very important part in the comics. So it seems like that's going to be the case with this. They come out, one of the guys says we'll hold them off, they fly away, and I'm thinking these vaccines might be doses of the Super Soldier Serum.
Yeah,
that's not vaccines. Obviously that dude gets gunned down. But the power brokers could also, they could be the ones supplying it to the U.S. government, or Thaddeus Ross could be part of the power broker organization himself.
This kind of reminds me of what you're talking about. Kind of reminds me of The Boys again, like with Compound V.
Kind of
reminiscent of that. So that'd be pretty interesting if they are like making their own and like, dispensing it and making their own.
Yeah, because Thaddeus Ross, an Incredible Hulk, he was trying to create his own Super Soldier Serum. That's how Abomination comes to be.
Yep.
And it would make sense if he's trying to use this to build his own team, Thunderbolts. I'm on that Thunderbolts train. I'm going to stay on it until I get proven wrong. and again, like I said last week, it could be leading to the Weapon Plus program as well. That's a high hope. We'll see.
Oh my god, imagine that, dude. That'd be crazy. That'd be so crazy.
Because obviously, that thing I brought up in the end credits last season, the graphics in it of it saying that all enhanced humans acts was made confidential from Thaddeus Ross. Like he's trying to hide this shit. Like obviously part of that is the Isaiah Bradley stuff, and it could be much more. And these Flag Smashers could have been part of that program. And then when the blip happened, they were able to go and do their own shit and kind of, you know, develop this kind of cult-ish mindset to, you know, help the people create this all under one border and everything like that.
Right.
Like that's so, what could have happened because, you know, it's possible.
Right. So I wanted, okay, for clarification,
yes.
It seems to me like their motivation for doing what they're doing, at least from what we're given from this episode, that the government doesn't care about the half that either that stayed in the blip, right? So like when Thanos snapped people that didn't disappear, the government only cares about them and not the people that came back 5 years later, or is it the other way around?
I think it's the other way around because they were talking about the vaccines were supposed to be like refugee camps and stuff. Uh-huh. And that one, I think it was the GRC kind of helps out with that.
Right.
But then John Walker had that line saying he's like, you know, usually these extremist groups don't really have don't really help the cause. And then Sam said, yeah, usually people who have all the resources are the ones to say that, which again, like that's a very, very like topical statement.
Again, it's so relevant because, you know, we're seeing certain people in today's world getting taken care of more than others because of their privilege, their wealth, you know, the resources that they do have. And it's like, you know, it's not, it's just, as you said, it's very topical. It's very relevant and people need to start fucking paying attention because there is a message behind it. And I think that it would be insane for anybody not to like give that credit. Like, hey, this is exactly what's going on in our world. But like, obviously in the Marvel universe, it's going to be in a different context, but like the same shit that's going on in their universe is going on here. But you know, if people don't want to acknowledge it, you're kind of insane for not acknowledging the truth, the truth behind it all. Honestly, seriously,
man. True. You're not wrong at all.
Because like, so then, I think because like, you know, the people, because if they only care about one literal half of the population that was exterminated, what about the other half? You know what I mean? Right. Like
it's a lot of people.
It's a lot of fucking people, man. It's a fucking ton of people. You know, what's the population now? 7 billion people. So 3.5 billion people just like they're just not giving a shit about.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy, like that, dude.
Shouldn't be like that.
It's nuts. Mm-hmm. Let me kind of get into the final segment of the episode. They're back at the jail. Bucky gets bailed out, but we find out it's from John Walker, not Sam. He gets him out. His therapist is there, and he says, hey, he's not going to be going to his regular meetings. He's needed with me. Kind of shows the fact that he doesn't really care about Bucky personally. He just cares about getting his job done. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously Bucky can help him with that job. Mm-hmm. Then they have the therapy session with Sam and Bucky. Mm-hmm. And very tense. Another, also funny. Also funny, but tense.
I thought the scene was a lot more intense than it was funny. Like, yes, it had funny lines, but this was kind of where, when I said before, I hope that the tension eases off really, really soon, is because of this scene. Because it just seems to me, it was just, I know that these two have a connection. I know that they are friends and that they love each other. But like, you know, it's like two best friends fighting and you don't want to see that. You know what I mean?
No. 100%. There's one line I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
Okay. This is like Bucky breaks my heart hour every week, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because he obviously the therapist says, you know, what aggravates you about each other? And Bucky brings up, why did you give up that shield? Why did you do it? And he goes, he believed in you. And if maybe he was wrong about you. And if he was wrong about you, he was wrong about me, mm-hmm. which broke my fucking heart. And then obviously, Sam after that says, hey, can you acknowledge, like, you and Steve will never understand where I'm coming from in this. Yeah. And I thought I did the right thing. And it's him talking about, he doesn't think people want a black Captain America. And that's like why he also, for one, he doesn't think he can live up to the legacy of Steve Rogers. But two, he doesn't think people will accept a black Captain America, which sucks. And I really hope it ends with him taking the mantle at the end. I really, really hope he realizes, like, yes, people do want this and need this. And he is good enough to take up that mantle. Absolutely. That's my hope. Mm-hmm. But yeah, your thoughts on that interaction. Again, Bucky continuing to break my goddamn heart week in, week
out. No, yeah, dude. All that whole line that you were just saying about, if he's wrong about you, then that means he's wrong about me too. It's like all the heartbreak, dude. But at the same time, to your point, where Sam says, like, can you at least acknowledge the fact, you know, I don't exactly remember the line, but the one where he's like, can you acknowledge the fact that, you know, he just doesn't think he's good enough? And we've talked about this before in the earlier in the episode. It's like, Sam doesn't think he's good enough. Not only doesn't he think he's good enough, but to your point, he doesn't think that America wants a black Captain America, which
or the government, even
or
worse.
Or the government, you know, he obviously thinks that like him being a black man and being a Captain America, that's going to go over well. And, you know, people aren't going to accept him for that. And that's heartbreaking as well. That's very heartbreaking because we know, the audience knows that if this was real life, we would be like, fuck yeah, Sam, we'd love for you to be Captain America. That's exactly what we want. You know, and it's just, again, it was a very intense scene. It was very real. It almost felt like Sebastian and Anthony were legitimately like really fucking mad at each other. And like, it seemed like Sebastian, dude, just their acting was super on point. It was so a very well written, well executed scene, man. It was so intense. It was probably one of the better ones in the serious tones for any MCU property. Like, there's been a lot of really good intense moments in the MCU, like in the beginning of Endgame after Tony Stark comes back.
Dude, oh my god. Snubbed. He should have got fucking nominated for a best supporting acting role because his acting in that movie, I don't care what people think about superhero movies, his acting in that movie was fucking incredible.
Absolutely. Like in the exchange between Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans in specific, where it's like, you know, we needed you. Where were you? Like, and you know, you said we would lose together, but you weren't there. Like,
yeah.
And just like this, I'm sure we'll get more intense scenes in this season going forward. But in regards to this episode, that it was honestly really powerful, man.
Because obviously that thing, like him saying like if he's wrong about you, he's wrong about me, again, to like the self-doubt and redemption stuff, like almost anyone can relate to that.
Yeah,
you know, totally. Like that hits hard with almost anyone. You know, it so very good scene. They obviously leave, they go out, and Bucky asks one last thing, what was the second rule again? Don't hurt anyone. And then we kind of get why when we get later on to this. But they go out, they talk to John Walker and Lamar Hastings again, saying like, hey, let's team up. We can do this. It would be, you know, obviously us divided. It's going to be way harder unless we do this together. And Sam was like, well, you guys got rules. We're freelancers. We don't. So we're going to go on our own. And then John Walker says, like you mentioned before, well, stay the hell out of my way. You know, again, it's like this thing. It's like he wants to work together with them. Like, why not team up with them? You know, other than the fact that they're pissed that he's like the new Captain America. I understand that. But, you know, he's kind of like, come on, guys, like we can do this better together, blah, blah, blah. And they're just like, nah, I'm good.
And honestly, that goes along the lines of like kind of what's happening in our world right now too. It's like a lot of people are calling for unity and all this shit, and sometimes people are like, man, fuck that, dude. If we want to get shit done, we got to do it ourselves, bro. You know what I mean? And I think that is just a little you know, that's another topic that we can go off on, but like in my mind, I'm on Sam and Bucky's side, dude. I'm like, dude, fuck it, man. Like, no, we know what we're up against. You fucking have no idea. Like, you might be Captain America now, but you ain't our Captain America, bro. Like,
nah, yeah.
I understand that completely. If you put me and put me in their spot in the MCU, I'd be like, yeah, I'm with these guys. Y'all can go off and do your own shit. You stay out of our way. Like that's what I would have said to fucking John Walker's bitch ass. You know, that's what I would do. But
and then we get the final scene, Bucky and Sam talking, and Bucky says, "I know who we need to go see." Mm-hmm. Sam's like, "No, I don't think it's a good idea." And he says, we need to go see Zemo. And I did not think this is how they're going to introduce Zemo, which is awesome. I love that. Mm-hmm. And then we get a shot of his cell. He is in cell number 2187, which is a nod to Star Wars.
I didn't even realize. Wow. I didn't see the number. I love that. That's so great. I love that.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, 2187 is the cell that Princess Leia was in the Death Star. Obviously, 2187 is used in a ton of movies. They actually took it from another movie.
Yeah,
it was I can't remember the name of it.
It was from a short film that George Lucas did when he was in college. Yeah, I don't remember it either. But like, it's also Finn's stormtrooper number when he
FN 2187. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love so, that.
Really cool nod.
Yes.
And he's also playing chess, which could be a nod to Ian McKellen as Magneto playing chess. Maybe they're both in prison cells. They're both bad guys.
Oh God, you're so much better at this than I am.
Maybe I, but it's very cool. It like there is very a scene cool. in the trailer where we see both of them in Madripoor following Zemo. So obviously Zemo gets out. Obviously, we don't know if it's Bucky and Sam help him get out or he gets out after the meeting or whatever. But obviously they team together. And the only thing we know is that a line in the trailer, Zemo says, I need to finish my work. I need to rid the world of superheroes. So I don't know if he's talking about the Flag Smashers. I don't know if he's talking about John Walker. I don't know if he's talking about Bucky and Sam, but he could be talking about all of them. I'm not sure, but I can't wait to see where they go with Zemo. Because that's the one thing I said. Like, I don't know how all of this is going to connect. And obviously, there's only 4 episodes left, but they get a lot done in these, like, 45-minute, 50-minute episodes. They go through a lot in one episode. So I'm very stoked to see where this goes. Because if they do help him get out, there was a scene I kind of forgot to bring up before they went to go see Isaiah. Bucky's like, let's just take the shield. We'll do this ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then Sam brings up, yeah, what happened the last time we did that? The Avengers broke up. Sharon Carter got Sharon Carter, who's going to show up in this series as well, got labeled as the enemy of the state. And Steve and I were on the run for 2 years. So it's like, what is that going to do doing that again? So I kind of can't see them helping break Zemo out, because why would they mention that and then put themselves in that kind of situation?
Right.
But I guess we'll see next episode, because obviously that's where they're going. Yeah. And we'll see what hell Zemo fucking raises in this next in the rest of the series, let alone the next episode. And I'm just stoked to see where this ends up, because I have no idea. Yeah, like I said, I have my few hopes, which one seems more probable than the other, but they both could happen. Maybe. Even if they happen eventually, it doesn't need to happen in this series. But I'm loving this show. Like you said, it's very intense, but it has its funny moments. But its intense moments are very, very, very intense. And I love that this series is awesome. Like it's hard for me to say I like it more than WandaVision, but like I don't know. I'm like very engrossed in the show. I love WandaVision. I thought it was fucking incredible.
It really is hard to compare the two, and I think it would be really unfair to do that. But what I can say is, honestly, I think with this series and with WandaVision, there's a vibe that you get from each individual series. Like especially with WandaVision, the one thing from WandaVision that I got were mystery and like haunting vibes.
Yeah,
like
thriller not
necessarily a thriller, but it was more like almost like a horror movie, like very disturbing, not scary disturbing. It's just like it just makes you feel unsettled, like uneasy a little bit. Like, you know, there a lot of those like haunting moments in like the first few episodes where we really were unsure of where the show was going. And with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, this is just like white knuckle, you know. This is just like it, like I said in the first episode, this is what reminds me of like a spy thriller, a James Bond, a Jason Bourne, just a white knuckle just thrill ride, you know what I mean? And obviously we're gonna get a lot of these intense moments, we're gonna get a lot of crazy stylized action sequences, and all the like, that's just what I get from this show so far. It's just, I'm not really like, oh my god, like what's gonna happen in the next episode? Is Mephisto gonna be here or not? Is Zemo Mephisto? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not,
he might be Mephisto.
you know, we're not wondering who these people could possibly be. Like, you know, it's not going to be Zemo all along. It's not going to be like, you know, nothing like that. But, you know, but that's not to say that it can't happen. It's just we're not getting it right now. It's only two episodes deep and there's not really anything too crazy going on. But that's not to say that maybe in the last half, maybe that will happen again. Like maybe something else will pop up and we're going to be like, what the fuck does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, we don't know.
True.
But just from these first two episodes, like, you just can't wait to see what happens in the next episode. Like, you just can't.
Yeah.
That's the same with WandaVision. Like, everybody was like, I just can't fucking wait to see what. Well, it took three or four episodes for people to say that. But but like, you know, it's the same thing. After every episode, when the fucking credits roll up, you're just like, God damn it.
Because like, they end it right when they like hook you. It's like the perfect show. It's like it's such a show format. Like they rise you up to the climax and they're like, boom, done.
Now, are you watching for after credits sequences after every episode? Because I am.
Even with WandaVision, I just watch through the credits anyway. Because usually I watch it late on Friday, so we usually kind of like, you know, go up to bed. After, so we kind of just watch through, but I don't think we'll get it until like if they kind of follow the WandaVision format they had it on the last three.
Yeah.
So I would guess maybe the last two. Maybe
I would hope. I'm hoping that we get an end credit scene by the fourth episode. So the last three episodes we'll get one.
We might.
But I'm watching because like I said, there's only six episodes. So maybe they would have done one after every single episode. You know, I did it for the first one. I did it for the second one. I'm going to do it for every single one, no matter what. But, you know, we didn't get one in the first episode. We didn't get a post-credit or mid-credit one in the second episode. So, you know, maybe we'll get one in the third episode.
We'll definitely get one for the last one.
Oh, for sure.
We'll definitely get two for the last one.
Absolutely. There's no – because, like – I'm not sure if they confirmed this to be a mini series or if they're going to continue on with further seasons. They haven't said anything
yes,
about it
yet? Yes, sir. Okay. They've kind of left it up in the air. They're like, there's nothing planned, but because it's hard because these obviously flow in with movies. So it's not like a traditional season of a TV show. You know, it's like this is going to lead into something else or, you know, whatever. Totally.
And what I'm glad
the writer has said, this is going to lead into three properties, the events of what happens in it.
Yeah,
so that's interesting too. So it's so different with the MCU because everything's so flowing with each other.
Right,
you know?
right. And I had a point that I wanted to make earlier, but I lost my train of thought. So fuck it, never mind.
I remember now.
What I really appreciate about the Disney Plus series. Is that they're coming out week to week instead of binging it all at once. When I first heard that they were doing that, like with The Mandalorian, I was like, oh man, no, fuck that. Give me all of it at once. And then as time went on, I'm like, oh, I'm actually really, really glad that they're doing it week by week. And when the Marvel Universe stuff was doing the same like kind of rollout, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Because I think it was during D23 when they announced all of these MCU shows on Disney Plus. How Kevin Feige was like, if you miss anything from these series, you aren't going to get what's going on in the movies. And I'm like, oh man, that's going to be just so much to watch. But then it's like, oh, but you know, one series comes out after another. It's not going to be like WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier are going to be out at the same time. So I'm like, okay, good. Right. Thank God for that because I couldn't, I probably couldn't keep up with all of it, but
yeah, that's a lot.
I'm really glad they're doing it week by week because it gives you something to look forward to. And it honestly kind of makes the rollouts to the movies like, you know, you have something to hold you over until the next film comes out. So I'm really glad they're going with this because, you know, Black Widow, I think, got pushed to September again.
July.
It was July. I think they pushed it again.
It was May. It's now July. It's Black Widow's July. Shang-Chi is September. Eternals is November, and then Spider-Man is December.
And you know what's so funny? Disney Plus lied to me. Want to know why? Because during the last episode of WandaVision, I called them because my shit crashed. And I was like, hey, like, I got this error code. What does this mean? And they're like, oh, yeah, everyone's trying to watch the season finale, series finale of WandaVision right now. And the girl was like, oh, do you have any other questions for me? And I'm like, yeah, is Black Widow going to come to Premiere Access? And she was like, no, it's not. And now it is.
Well, of course. Yeah, they couldn't say that to you. It's like they're gonna give you the scoop.
Well, fucking, maybe they would have. Maybe at that time they weren't. And then they just decided one day.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, we actually are.
The person answering the phone definitely did not know if they were doing it.
I know. But one could hope. But no, I love that the way they're doing it is you're going to always have something to kind of hold you right over. Because everybody in the Marvel Cinematic Universe fandom is just aching for more shit. All we want is shit, you know? Like, and the fact that literally, I want to say Kevin Feige was saying, every single week of this year, you will get something new from Marvel. Whether it's a television show, a movie, a documentary, whatever, you're going to get something new from Marvel. And to me, I'm like, let's fucking go, dude. 365 things this fuck, dude. Like, let's go.
Yeah, I think it's different now. Because because this show is going to end, and then there was going to be the behind the scenes of Falcon Winter Soldier, then Black Widow, and then Loki was supposed to come out like, oh yeah, there was supposed to be, it was like Black Widow, and then behind the scenes of Black Widow was going to come out on Disney Plus, okay, and then Loki was going to start. But now that Loki got pushed back to June, there's going to be a little bit of a gap, like a month-ish. So that long to wait. It's not that long.
No, but again.
Plus, we get the Bad Batch in May, so we'll have that to hold us over.
Oh, yeah. Then, you know, that's something. But, I mean, like, the fact that we're getting all of these new Marvel properties this year, and it's an abundance of it, too, is just like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just because
again,
incredible.
To add to those movies, we get What If in the summer, Loki in June, and then Ms. Marvel and Hawkeye... all this year. Because a lot.
It is a lot. Wait, so Hawkeye is coming out this year? I thought it was next year.
It's supposed to. Both of them are slated as late 2021. Okay. Maybe one of them will get moved to next year, which, you know, obviously awesome. We're getting four movies within 5 months, which is crazy.
But the thing is, though, is that like at least three of those films were already supposed to be out. Like Black Widow was supposed to be out, and The Eternals, I believe, was supposed to be out by now, and Shang-Chi was supposed to be out by now. So, but now we're getting Black Widow, Shang-Chi, The Eternals, and fucking Spider-Man by the end of this year, bro.
Awesome.
So good. Sick. I'm so excited, man. I'm so excited.
Me too.
And the fact
I love this shit.
I know this is a tangent, but like, and the fact that we get Jon Snow and Robb Stark in the MCU, bro.
Dude, I'm amped for that. Give me Black Knight now.
Give me it now. I'm ready for Moon Knight, dude. That's going to be so great.
Same. Oscar Isaac, man.
He's going to kill it. Dude, sorry, this has nothing to do with Marvel, but did you know he's going to play Solid Snake in the fucking Metal Gear Solid live action adaptation?
So tight.
I mean, that guy is killing it, man.
He's amazing. Anyway, I love him.
Anyways, but yes, let's go back to fucking Falcon and Winter Soldier real quick.
Well, I think, let's tie it up.
Okay. What were we saying before?
Pretty much just ending like we don't know where this is gonna go. Obviously, yes. Zemo's gonna come full force in the next episode.
Honestly,
we don't know what's gonna happen.
I think, and I don't like to theorize a lot of the times because I like to be surprised on what happens. But I was talking about this with a buddy of mine, and I honestly think that they're gonna team up with Zemo.
Oh yeah. For sure.
Honestly, I think that, like, because, you know, they were mentioning how he has all of Hydra's secrets, right? So I think they're going to use that to their advantage and to Zemo's advantage. And they're going to work together in some fashion to, you know, to carry out, like, or, you know, to destroy the Flag Smashers, or maybe, like, recruit them to be on their side. Like, We don't know, but I think that those three, like Zemo, Sam, Bucky, I think those three are going to team up, and maybe this is when John Walker goes full dick. They're going to team up against him.
Maybe. That's a very big possibility.
That would be so fucking badass, dude.
I agree. I think it'd be wild.
That's just kind of where I think the show could go. And I'm hoping that's where it does go. But if it doesn't, whatever does happen, I'm here for it. But that would just be so cool to see that.
That would be awesome. I agree.
Where do you think it's going to go?
I mean, that's a really good thing. Like, I did bring up that I know them and Zemo will work together in some capacity. I just don't know how long it'll last. But I guess we'll see. Yeah, like what you brought up, like them and the Flag Smashers versus U.S. Agent and Battlestar, I could see that shit for sure. I like I said, I really don't know how this is going to end, and that's exciting. I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm down.
If we get a full-blown dickhead John Walker, how do you think that, like how do you see that, like what events will lead up to that? Like, do you think he's just going to be like, give me all the super serum and just fucking just inject all of it into him, and he just turns into this crazy super powerful, like what do you
think? I mean, since Torres has kind of been already set up as this like tech savvy, he's always live streaming kind of guy, I could see him, because obviously we see him shoot a Flag Smasher on the top of the trucks, like maybe he just kills a ton of Flag Smashers, it gets blown up on the internet, and they have to kind of do some like backtracking the government, but they keep him to be like, and then he becomes U.S. agent later, maybe revealed in like a Thunderbolt team later, and then Sam maybe becomes Captain America proper himself. That's a possibility for sure. You know, they see him going crazy and everyone's like, whoa. Because everyone brings up, oh, Steve Rogers used a gun, but yeah, it was in fucking fighting the fucking Nazis, dude. Yeah. Like, he never used a gun. He never used a gun in modern times, you know, he didn't. So, and obviously, kind of Falcon has, not kind of has, he has used guns, but I mean, he was also fighting, like, he did it in Infinity War fighting aliens and shit like that. So, yeah, totally, I mean, different. It's whatever, but like, it's different. So, we'll see how it ends up. Like we've both said, we want to see Sam holding that fucking shield by the end of the show. That's my hope.
And I'm sure it will, dude. I think, again, like I said in the previous episode we did, you know, I feel like Marvel listens to the fandom and we'll get that.
Yeah.
If not by the end of this season, hopefully in one of the next films, or if there's a second season to this, maybe in that one. But I'm pretty sure, dude, like usually for the most part, Marvel properties have happy endings. So I think that by the end of this, we'll probably see it.
Yeah.
Probably will.
Hell yeah. Well, I think that's it for this one. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you're thinking of the show. If you have any crazy theories, or tag Metal Core Nerds on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're all there. Or hit me up, Sean X Mott on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Don't even bother with that. I don't know. It's weird. But whatever. You know, I like having conversations about this shit. Also, join the Secret Metal Core Nerds Facebook group. It's awesome. We share all the nerd news, talk about what we think is going to happen in shows and movies and a ton of fucking memes. So it's really cool. And again, 1 year of Metalcore Nerds, go to metalcorenerds.com, use the code birthday to get 50% off merch, 2 shirts and an enamel pin. Something for everyone. You know what I mean? So until next time, see you next week. This is Metalcore Nerds.